Elizabeth Schwartz is here to talk about her new book, Before I Do, A Legal Guide to Marriage, Gay and Otherwise, and give us her spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, Charlotte.
Tell us about your new book.
It's a legal guide to marriage, from the fullest legal consequences to the smallest little psychological concerns, questions that we should be asking one another before getting married. You know, the Obergefell decision in June of 2015 brought the freedom to marry to the entire country. But of course, with freedom comes responsibility, and we want to inform all marrying and married couples about what rights and obligations marriage brings and what it doesn't. I won't claim this is the definitive guide to marriage, but we've tried to get as close as we can while still keeping the content accessible and relevant to folks all over the country and every socioeconomic level.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
Well, it's funny. I was asked to write it by the publisher. They're a wonderful social justice publishing house out of Manhattan called The New Press. And there's an editor, a lesbian, who works there, who also teaches part-time in undergraduate queer studies classes. And she was sort of freaked out finding that all of these gay kids were kind of just popping down her podium at the end of every class and saying, oh, we think we're going to go get married this weekend, you know? And she was just like, hello? Whoa, these marriages are real, people. Slow down. And so she thought, gosh, I want to get somebody to write this manual, kind of what marriage means and doesn't mean. And she, through a sort of mutual friend and colleague of mine, with whom I had been on a panel not long before that at FSU, that gal had heard me say what has always been my mantra: look, just because you can get married doesn't mean you should, and just kind of slow the heck down. And it's not to say you shouldn't marry, it's just to say know what you're getting yourself into before you do it.
What would you like to accomplish with this book?
There's different levels of what I'd like to accomplish, from just sort of a more kind of basic drill down perspective. I just would really like for more people to be more informed about all of the consequences of marriage. And that's just kind of the practical perspective. But I guess I have sort of a broader fantasy going, which is really that we as a community kind of do marriage differently, you know, that we're informed, that we're deliberate in a way that I think we've seen a lot of hetero folks not be, right? We've seen lots of Britney Spears 55-hour marriages, and yes, we have in the LGBT community, we have our own Britney, right? We've got that Britney Griner story where they had a messy gay marriage and then messy gay divorce, and then they were married for 28 days, and they had lots of unforeseen consequences and drama. But I guess I'd like to think that this book would be part of helping our community just think more deliberately about marriage, just be more thoughtful generally about the fallout from this institution, and just not jump in just because we have the right, but perhaps instead thinking about the ways in which perhaps marriage is or isn't right for each individual couple. And maybe we could even do some work ultimately on helping decouple some of these rights. There's so many rights associated with marriage, some 1,500 rights and responsibilities. And I think it'd be great if not just more couples, but more individuals, more different kinds of constellations of families were able to benefit from all of those rights, being able to cover your girlfriend, your boyfriend with insurance. You shouldn't have to be married for all this stuff. You shouldn't have to be married to provide safety and stability for people with whom you're financially and emotionally interdependent. So I guess it's sort of a long answer to the question. There's a lot of things I'd love to accomplish with this book, but right now I'll just start with more deliberate marriages and less shock on death and divorce as to what the effect of that marriage was.
You live in Florida. It's been kind of a tough year between the incident at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando and also it's a key state in the upcoming election. What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights these days?
Right now, I'm really focused on this election. I'm really focused on the ways in which electing a Democratic president and taking back the Congress, the ways in which that is extremely important on so many levels for the LGBT community, for broader progressive values, for the communities with whom we stand in solidarity. And there are so many important aspects to this election, up and down the ballot. But certainly, as an attorney and activist in the LGBT legal community, I'm extremely focused on our Supreme Court. The statistics show that the next president is likely to appoint up to 3 Supreme Court justices, just sort of based on the math and the potential for, I mean, certainly we know we have 1 vacancy, and it's likely that there'll be another 2 in the next 4 or 8 years. So I say to folks who aren't sure, or who maybe aren't in love with Hillary, or who think that she's got it on lock and they're not worried, or they were Bernie people, or they're just not so sure, you know, I say to people, like, please just think of the Supreme Court, because that is so incredibly important. And so, yes, 4 years or 8 years is going to go by in a heartbeat, but of course the Supreme Court, they're appointed for life, and that's a long, long time. And then another thing I'm extremely focused on these days is the plight of LGBT older adults. I'm the board co-chair of SAGE Services and Advocacy for GLBT Elders, and we're an almost 40-year-old organization that serves LGBT older adults around the country, both direct services and advocacy work in policy level in D.C., and the irony, the awful irony, that this very institution of marriage, you know, this process that we've gotten ourselves through to get to this amazing place where we even have the privilege of thinking about where we can marry and if we can marry and should we marry and run the tax numbers and see if we should marry, whatever. You know, the very people who got us to this point are living oftentimes in circumstances where they don't have dignity in these most vulnerable time in their lives. So I'm also real focused on trying to increase SAGE's ability to provide capacity training in nursing homes around the country, to get the LGBT Older Americans Act passed in D.C. So that kind of stuff is weighing heavy on me right now as well.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
I'd like to see our community really embrace the most vulnerable among us. I have this sense that marriage for many is like the end-all be-all, and there are folks in our community who just sort of see that their problems are fixed. Now they've got the marital deduction and the right to divorce, so they're done. And certainly marriage does not bring full lived equality to our entire community. So as I mentioned, we're very much focused on vulnerable LGBT older adults and how marriage doesn't help them at all. In fact, in some cases, it can hurt them because they can lose certain government benefits. But marriage isn't like a light switch that suddenly fixes all homophobia and transphobia and sexism and racism and classism and ageism. So I'd like to see our community appreciate that there's a lot of work still to be done, especially our community of the world and of the nation, for people of color, for people who are gender nonconforming. And so that's my dream. You know, my dream is that we don't all look the same. We don't all kind of live in areas where we can afford to be out and comfortable. I'd like to see us be a little more expansive in who we are. So it's not just about marriage bringing that dignity to our relationships, but that we are also able to enjoy the freedom to work, the freedom to live anywhere, to be free from harassment, from violence. And that's something that's a goal that's attainable, but it's going to take us a lot of years.
How can people get information about you and also your new book, Before I Do, A Legal Guide to Marriage, Gay or Otherwise?
Well, I've got a great website. It's elizabethschwartz.com/beforeido. And I've also got a Twitter handle. Folks can follow me. It's @schwartzoutlaw. And I'd love to have that conversation with folks. This book is not the definitive guide to all things marriage. I certainly tried to make it as thorough as I can. But family law and estate law is different in every state, and so it's incredibly important that folks tell me what I miss. We're already actually in the second printing of the book, which is great, but as we continue to succeed in pushing this message out, I'd like to make sure if there's anything I missed or ways in which that's not the case and where you live, that kind of thing, it'd be super for folks to let me know. So I really look forward to that engagement.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, we're still finishing up with this lawsuit against the state of Florida that I'm working on with the National Center for Lesbian Rights, because the state of Florida has not been willing until just recently to issue birth certificates to LGBT couples who are having children in the context of their marriage. So they are, unfortunately, sort of resisting some aspects of the compliance, although they are now issuing birth certificates fairly. So we're still working on that litigation. And we just, well, at SAGE, we just started a new strategic plan. So it's a 5-year plan with a 10-year vision, which is really exciting. We're rolling out a new hotline so that people experience any discrimination anywhere in the country, they can call us and report that, and we'll do our best to try to investigate and remedy and maybe even get some sensitivity training out there. So that's a really exciting chapter for SAGE. We also just launched a SAGE affiliate down here in Miami, our 30th. So we've got 30 affiliates throughout the country. So exciting times for SAGE as well.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I wish people would ask, if I read this book, should I still see a lawyer? Because I think that folks seem to have the perception, maybe, that this book is in lieu of seeing a lawyer. But really, as I say at the beginning of the book, this book is intended to make your time with a lawyer more useful, maybe more economical. You're already alerted to some of the issues, but I really would like to see more people be informed and really make that time more useful. But this is not a substitute for meeting with a lawyer. It's just giving you a little bit more information.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
This too shall pass. To me, it's just helps you not sweat the small stuff. I get super intense with what's going on in life and in law and with my clients, and I just have to remember that whatever is happening, it's not forever.